back in the day, about more than 30 years ago, there was a baseball player, one of the all-time greats, who went by the nickname of Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle wasn't the most talented player in the league by any stretch of the imagination. He wasn't the fastest guy, wasn't the most powerful guy. Even on his team, Cincinnati Reds, which I didn't like very much because mid-70s they were a semi-dynasty. I didn't like that. That was the time that I first started following baseball. Even on his team, there were players who were much better athletes than he was. More powerful, more graceful, faster. But he went on to a storied career and really became one of the all-time greats. And his nickname said it all, Charlie Hustle. What he personified was tenacious grit. He just wanted to get the job done and nothing was going to stop him. And through his career, he got hit after hit after hit after hit. Nebuch's story had a very sad ending. After he broke all the records, so then he got caught for gambling on baseball games and was banned from baseball for life. And he never even made it to the Hall of Fame, as far as I know. I'm sure there's a movement of people out there who are trying to still get him installed. But despite the fact that after it all, he went the wrong way, Yain Shehichmitz, there is something that you can learn from such a person, if anything at all. And that is that a lot of times, it's not what you have in terms of your raw talent, in terms of what you can do, but how much you want it. How strong your conviction is to do something, how much you want it, and how much you're willing to hustle. In the beginning of Pirkei Avos, I always like to mention that Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai Masar Li Yeshua, he gave it to Yeshua, and Rashi points out there that Yeshua was not the one who understood Torah in the most powerful way, in the clearest way. Many wonderful things are said about Pinchas, but what Yeshua had that nobody else did was Yeshua was a Neman. Yeshua was L'yomish M'Toich Ha'ayel. Yeshua had staying power. He had the grit. He had the will. And a person who has grit, a person has will, so he can go very, very far. A person who has all the talent in the world and everything going for him, if he doesn't have those kishkis, so oftentimes he just falls off the deep end and you never hear of him again. Bahar Buchu Kaisa I always read together. And seemingly the two parshias have nothing to do one with the other. Bahar is an economic parsha. It talks about Shemitah and it talks about Yovel. It talks about selling metaltlin with Aynah. It talks about selling karka, selling yourself, eventually selling yourself to a goy. And Bechukaisai is brachas klalas. At the end we talk about erchin, temura. But at the end of Bahar, before Bechukaisai, there's a little section which seemingly doesn't have to do with anything. I was thinking about it today that it may be somewhat of a bridge. After the Torah talks about what happens when somebody, Nebuch, sells himself to a goy, he becomes so poor that he has to sell himself to a goy in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah comes and tells us, Leisasu lachem elilim, don't make for yourselves avodah zarah, pesel matzecha leisakimu lachem, ve'even maskis leisitnu ba'artzachem. Bekitzer, all of the trimmings of avodah zarah get rid of. Ki ani Hashem elokeichem. Eshabsoisai tishmeru, keep Shabbos, umikdoshi tiro, ani Hashem. So after talking about being sold to a goy, so the Torah tells us, listen, make sure you don't worship Avodah Zarah and keep Shabbos and make sure that you keep the Beis HaMikdash as a Makom Kaddish. You give it its proper respect. What's it have to do with anything? So Rashi already tells us. Rashi says, Keneged Zeh HaNimkor LeGoy. The Torah is addressing this person who was sold to a goy. Shlo Yoymar, that he shouldn't say, Hoyel v'Rebbe Megal Arayis. Since my master, he didn't behave himself. So I also will go do the same thing. Since my master worshipeth Avodah Zarah, I'll do the same thing. Since my master doesn't keep Shabbos, I'll do the same thing. So therefore the Torah warns him, don't do it. Obvious question, which is maybe not such a question to us, but it's definitely a question, is like, what's the Hava Amina? What's this guy thinking? You sold yourself to a guy, so therefore he's Megal Arayis, you're going to be Megal Arayis, he didn't keep Shabbos, you don't have to keep Shabbos, he's Eved Avodah Zarah, what is this? Some kind of a dinazai, you know, Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi, and therefore works in reverse, that if he's Megal Arayis, now I'm allowed to be Megal Arayis, what is it? Unfortunately, those of us who have grown up in Western society already know the answer to this question. That after hundreds of years of living in the ghetto in Europe, so people came over, they saw a Statue of Liberty, and they said, okay, fine, we don't need our tefillin anymore, and they threw him over the ship into the East River. That somehow you think that when I'm not with the Jews anymore, I'm with the Goyim, so now I can do whatever they do. I don't need my tefillin, and I can be Megal Arayis, and even Avodah Zarah. But where does that attitude come from? What's the problem? How do you get such an idea? And then you have Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim, everybody knows the first Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim Tiyu, Amelim B'Torah. What does the Torah tell us? In B'chukaisai Teilechu. Parshas B'chukaisai, I'm sorry. Parshas B'chukaisai Teilechu. In B'chukaisai Teilechu, V'yas Mitzvaisai Tishmeru V'asisim Aysam, says the Torah, that if you go in my chukim, you do my mitzvahs, you keep the mitzvahs. Says Rashi in B'chukaisai Teilechu, Yochel Zeh Kiyum HaMitzvahs. B'chukaisai Teilechu seems to be Kiyum HaMitzvahs, but it can't be. Since it says Mitzvaisai Tishmeru, so you already have Kiyum HaMitzvahs. So what's B'chukaisai Teilechu? Shetiyu HaMelim B'Torah, that you got to learn Torah with a melis. That's what everybody knows. Famous Yeshiva Sheshmuz, Shetiyu HaMelim B'Torah. But there's a second Rashi, and the second Rashi gets a lot less press. The second Rashi is on Mitzvahs Tishmeru. What's Mitzvahsai Tishmeru? Havu Amelim B'Teira Al Menas Lishmor Ulukayim. That you have to be Amel B'Teira. Why? Not just for its own sake. So that you can do the mitzvahs and be Mekayim the mitzvahs. K'moy Shenemar L'matim Ha'isom V'shmartim La'asayisom. Rashi throws in an extra K'necha over there. If you would read the Rashi the way that everybody thinks that you should, B'chukaisai Teilechu means what? Amelim B'Teira. Mitzvaisai Tishmeru means what? Keep the mitzvahs. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the two things go together. B'chukaisai Teilechu says Tiyu Amelim B'Teira, U'mitzvaisai Tishmeru means that as a result of that Amelus B'Teira, you're going to do the mitzvahs. Why does it have to be that way? Why can't it just be learn Torah? That's a process in and of itself. And then there's another din that you have to keep the mitzvahs. Apparently what Rashi is telling us over here is that unless you have a melus b'Torah, so then your kiyum mitzvahs is also at risk. Which may get into the same issue we were talking about before, of why people may think that there's a heter, that if you're with the goyim, that you can do what the goyim do. Many times I think that, and it's obvious, I just reflect on it. The fact that today, the world that people in this room are growing up in, and the world that I grew up in, not so long ago, but long enough to make a difference, different in very many ways. In a certain way, it's Achshar Dara. So the world is much frummer today than the world that I grew up in. The idea of people sitting and learning for a long period of time is much more accepted than it was way back when. When I was a bacher, for somebody to say that they're going to Lakewood was like a major, major thing. You know, going, no, everybody goes to Lakewood. You know, go to Lakewood and fine. Part of the culture. used to be that there, what's it called? There were a lot of issues in yeshiva. People staying more than 2 years. Much easier now. On the other hand, as much as things became frumer, things became easier. So there's a difference. Because in the old days, if somebody went to Lakewood, so it meant that he was at war with himself, and he really made a decision, and it really meant something. If somebody decided to stay in learning full-time for more than just a year or two, it wasn't just that he was joining a culture, it really meant something. And a person decided that he wanted to stay in yeshiva for more than a year or two, and it really meant something. I remember in the day when, now everybody knows Excelsior in yeshiva, it's a shame davar. I remember when the Excelsior program was being instituted here. And it was a big vikuach in the yeshiva. Of course, the Rosh Yeshiva had decided that this was the way to go. Why? Because up until then, to keep a guy in yeshiva for more than 2-3 years, it was going to be ugly. Sometimes parents were willing to go along, but sometimes it wasn't so simple. Most times it wasn't so simple. You have a situation where guys can get their degree while they're in yeshiva without too much problems. So it takes care of most of the cases. And therefore now, Baruch Hashem, you have guys here 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years. Some people say, yeah, but with the milchama comes the kinyanim. If you have to fight for something, then that's what gives you your grit. You're not a millimeter deep. There's something inside of you. You have some kishkas. When you have some kishkas, that's how you go far. How is it that when somebody goes into the house of an Eved Avodah Zarah, he says that my master is Megal Arayis, my master is Eved Avodah Zarah, my master goes and does his thing, he's Mechal Shabbos, so I could do the same thing. It's really very simple. If your Yiddishkeit is a millimeter deep, if your Yiddishkeit is just, okay, this is a very nice culture and it's a nice lifestyle, so the minute you get out of that, you go back home to wherever you came from, or you're living amongst goyim, or worse, your master is a goy, so it's very easy to slip, and it's very easy to go into his habits, and therefore we need a special warning, and you have to have your Shabbos, and you have to have you have to make sure that you don't worship Avodah Zarah, not be Megal Arayis, all these different things. On the other hand, if a person is deep, so then you don't have that problem. Has a person become deep? A person becomes deep through Amelus B'Torah. But that's what Rashi means. That it's not enough to just learn Ba'amkus, to be Amo B'Torah for 2 or 3 years. Okay, fine, I had a great yeshiva experience. It was awesome while I was here. I really pounded. Okay, now I go back and I do my thing. But I'll be Shemer Mitzvahs. No. The Amelus has to be Almanas Lishmar, the Mitzvahs. The Shmiras HaMitzvahs has to be an expression of that Amelus. It's all one whole. It has to be in your Kishkas. And then it has a Kiyum. Because then you've developed true grit. You have something real. And that will take us through life. One time in the Beis Medrash this week, I like to vent to Rabbi Abramowitz. I think he likes to vent back. So he's going to South Africa next week. And one of the canards that he's going to have to deal with in South Africa is that in South Africa, for some reason, there's a word going around that in Tomo, the reason that we pound Iyun so much is because they tell all the guys to be Baal Batim. And therefore, since they know that they're going to only have a few years to learn, so you have to really pound you in now so that you know how to learn. I won't go into the profound mental retardation of that. I think that it more or less speaks for itself. But the real reason that we pound Ian around here so much, and I'm not getting into the issue of the key is Ian or whatever, everyone has their thing. The reason that we pound the UNIS is because a person, whether he's going to end up being a sanitation engineer or whether he ends up being the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, the most important thing that he has to have is that he knows how to think through a sugya. Think through a sugya in Gemara and think through a sugya in life. Think through a sugya in Shmiras on Mitzvahs. You have to build your kishkas, you have to build your pneumias, you have to build your seichel, and you have to use that to express everything that you do in your life. It's not because everybody's going to leave the base marriage, Hashem. I hope that that's not the case. But one thing is for sure, is that without true grit, you don't go anywhere. Give everybody a bracha, that in their years here, the wonderful Gan Eden that we're in, they should develop that true grit. Al menas l'kayim all the mitzvahs, al menas to have an elevated spiritual life, and that everybody should have a very, very happy ending. Don't become yayin shehichmes like Charlie Hustle. Just use the true grit to take you further, Michael Al Chayil, day after day after day. Have a good Shabbos.